Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Purple Hearts United was established in Vermont in 2012. It's the only organization in the country returning lost or stolen medals to veterans and to military families at no cost. What's happening is that research is done, and then the person who received the Purple Heart is located, or a family is located, which sometimes could take a long time to trace somebody down. And when possible, there will be a return ceremony to reunite the vet or family with the medal. To date, Purple Hearts Reunited has returned service medals of about 300 veterans. And our guest, the founder of this program, is Major Zachariah Fike. He's a captain in the Vermont Army National Guard. He served in the military for 17 years with combat deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. He earned a Purple Heart in September of 2010 in Afghanistan. He's a life member of the Military Order of the Purple Heart and comes from a long military tradition. A grandfather served in the Philippines, a father, veteran of Vietnam, who served 26 years in the Army. His mother was one of the first female drill sergeants in the Army. Two of his uncles served in Vietnam. Two served in World War II. In his family, he has six descendants of the American Revolution, one that served during the War of 1812, and a long line that served during the Civil War. He's going to be with us for the entire hour to talk about some of these very moving stories of returning medals. And a little bit later in the hour, Ann Diamond will be joining us, daughter of the late Corporal Raymond Edward Paradowski. Her father's Purple Heart was returned to her in January of 2015 here in Wisconsin, and so we will hear that story. We'll be welcoming phone calls, as we always do. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Major Fike, thank you very much for being with us.
Wow, it's my honor. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm delighted to have you with us. I would imagine that this all started when your mother gave you a Purple Heart that she had bought somewhere for a Christmas present. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. You know, when soldiers go off to war, they come back a different person, whether you want to admit it or not. You know, you see a lot of good things and you see a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
And everyone deals with that in their own way. And I found my own therapy through collecting antiques. As I started to venture into these shops, I started seeing military items, and it really broke my heart to think that they were kind of lost along their own journey, and I started to rescue them. And because of that, in 2009, my mom found a posthumous Purple Heart, which means a soldier was killed in combat, and she paid $100 for it.
And you, when you received it, decided you had to return the medal to its owner. It needed to go home, but this was not an easy task.
Yeah, there's a lot of military items that I've found over the years that have been personalized, but the Purple Heart is just one of those things, in my own opinion, that can't be held on to. It can't be collected. You know, it symbolizes so much, a soldier who either shed their blood or their lives for our country. And it really bothered me when I first searched that name on the back of that medal that there was no story. And it set me on a journey to find out everything I could about him and his family.
And it turned out he was born in Italy in 1932.
Yeah, Corrado Piccoli immigrated from Italy with his family. He came over around age three. Well-liked in his community, very active in school. He sang. He was a very good singer. He sang Ave Maria at the church, and in the Italian family, that's a huge honor. And it's unfortunate he had to die early. But as an immigrant, he knew that fighting for this country and earning that right to be and call himself an American was very important to him and his family.
So you found, and I'm sure that this took a lot of work, you found his sister, who was then 87 years old.
Yeah, through some amateur detective skills I've kind of learned over time, but I was able to locate a local sister, and she turned me on to the rest of the family. He came from an Italian family, so they had five girls and one other son, and she was able to put me in touch with the boss of the family, which was the oldest sister.
And she said the Purple Heart was all my parents had of my brother.
Correct. This metal was not supposed to be out of that family. His death was devastating to them. Their mother passed away shortly after, just from a broken heart, if you will.
Yes.
And without that rock of their mother, that family kind of separated over time, which is not common for Italian families. Typically, they're very close. And it was really their ideal to have this ceremony. You know, I thought I would just give them the medal and we would say goodbye. But they wanted an opportunity to memorialize the brother that they lost so many years ago. And it was their ideal to have a ceremony around this return process.
And there are so many of those stories I've read about. They are so moving. We'll hear about more of them as the hour goes on. Tell me first, though, Major, how do these Purple Hearts get lost? Where have they been found?
It's probably one of the greatest things about this foundation is that every single medal has its own story. It has its own journey. Sometimes you'll never know. But they're being found in some of the most amazing locations across the country. You know, old abandoned homes, vehicles, furniture, metal detector enthusiasts are finding them buried in the ground. Tarmac, so maybe a metal fell out of someone's luggage. Taxi cab. My favorite, a dog dug one up in a backyard.
Oh, really?
If you can envision it, a metal has been found in that form or fashion.
And then how do people find you?
They simply do a Google search. We've been around now in our fourth year. Most people have read about the organization, which is great for us. They know that we exist to assist in these specific cases, and they'll just reach out to us and let us know what they found, and we go from there.
Uh-huh. And when you say we, is it more than you? Or are you doing this pretty much by yourself?
Yeah, it used to just be me. Now, at the rate that we're receiving medals, you know, I physically just can't keep up.
Right.
So I have broken the organization down into some specialty teams, and one of those teams is called Valor Research. The Valor Research team, we have hundreds of volunteers that are both professional and amateur researchers, and they help me track down each family.
And I read in something about you that much of this, I hope you're getting donations now, but that you had spent something like $50,000 of your own money because this cause is so important to you, that you've traveled all over the country to reunite these Purple Hearts with their family members or with their original owners, and you've done it out of your own pocket.
Yeah, I've actually spent more than that. I would do that 10 times over because
really?
I truly believe in what we're doing. Believe it or not, these medals are being traded like baseball cards.
Really?
Just last year, we spent over $50,000 to rescue over 125 medals. So the average posthumous Purple Heart, again, that's for a soldier who was either basically was killed on the field of battle, their medals on average go for $300.
Wow.
If you can tie historical value to the medal, for example, we just did a return in Milwaukee for the brother of a veteran who died at Iwo Jima.
Yes,
his medal sold for $2,500.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Who's buying these?
There's collectors. Some are good. Some are bad. You know, some do some justice by them and display them. Some trade them for, you know, sport. They brag about them. You know, look what I found. And it really breaks my heart as a combat veteran, Purple Heart recipient. You know, these medals, in my opinion, deserve to be either with the family or in a home of honor, whether that's a historical society or town hall, so that everyone in that local area can go and appreciate that soldier.
Right. And tell us the story. They're really moving. They're all very moving. But some of these soldiers who died in World War II, and they were 21, 22, 23 years old, and so young, and that's all the family would have to remember them. Some of the bodies never came home, some did, but tell us the story of the Iwo Jima, and I believe his brother had served in World War II as well.
Yeah, the medal was recently discovered in the Detroit area. We were able to successfully rescue that medal and do the historical research and found and was completely amazed to find out that his brother was still alive, his brother Carl. And, you know, he was a Marine, the veteran who passed. He was a Marine, one of the most famous Marine Corps units. and hit the beaches at Iwo Jima. You know, he was physically there for one of the most historic battles, witnessed the flag being raised on Mount Suribachi, and unfortunately was killed shortly after. You know, his brother was also serving. He was a Marine, and he was getting ready for the battle in Okinawa when he got the news. And he made a hard decision. He decided to stay and fight with his brothers. And then after the war was over, he basically had to go and identify his brother and bring him home to his mother. And he writes, it's actually well-documented in a book called The Lions of Iwo Jima. And, you know, for 3 days as he's on the ship heading home with his brother, he prayed to God just to give him the strength to get past that confrontation with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his mom would want to see her son for the last time, and unfortunately, there just wasn't a lot left of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he struggled to figure out how to get her past that moment. And you can just, reading the lines, you feel the struggle, and it's almost as if you're with him.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear the story of his mom basically placing both hands onto that casket and saying her last goodbye, and taking off her handkerchief and tying it to the handle of the coffin to give him something to remember her by.
Oh my gosh.
it just breaks your heart.
Right.
And those stories happen to all over our country. And the fact that we have kind of forgotten about these men and those stories, it's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
And through this organization and bringing that medal back to his brother, brought a small piece of them back to that family.
Mm-hmm.
And we've rewritten that history and told his story so that no one will ever forget who he was and what he did for us.
And frequently you have ceremonies, don't you, that mark the return of the medal?
Correct. It's up to the families. So once we identify a family and inform them what we have, we give them the option. Some families are very quiet. They're very private, and they don't want any attention, where some families are completely opposite. They want an opportunity to tell the world who their family member was, and we support that. We will get the medals professionally framed, free of charge, and then we will travel across the country to their hometowns, and we conduct a return ceremony. That could be personal, maybe just at your family home, or we'll invite the community to participate at maybe at an American Legion, and hundreds of people show up. During those ceremonies, we try to educate the community on why the Purple Heart is important by talking about the history. We get a family perspective. It's always great to hear a family talk about that loved one. It's as if they were real again. You know, the story about my big brother walking me to the bus stop when I was a little girl. Or my brother stole my dad's car one time and crashed it into the barn. Or just, you know, your funny stories. And it's always great to hear that from the family perspective. And then at the end, we present those medals to the family.
Major Fike, what is the history of the Purple Heart? How long have they been given out?
Well, the concept of it started with the Badge of Military Merit, which was created by General George Washington.
Oh.
It's our nation's oldest medal. It was a cloth patch, purple in color, hand-stitched the word merit. And that was issued during the Revolutionary War to soldiers, not for being wounded, but for fidelity and service, much like the Medal of Honor today. That concept went away for over 100 years, and General Douglas MacArthur, who was a veteran himself of World War I and a Purple Heart recipient himself, pushed Congress in the early 30s to design the medal that we know today.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping with the same tradition of the Badge of Military Merit, purple in color, shape of a heart, on the back of the medal for military merit, and they put George Washington's bust on the front of that medal. And that was first announced on February 22nd, 1932, which is George Washington's 200th birthday.
Oh. Do you mind if I ask? I know you don't like to talk about your own service very much, but where is your Purple Heart? And can you talk about how you happened to receive it?
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of serving my country for the past 18 years, both as an enlisted man and an officer. I come from a long line of military tradition, so it's been an honor to follow in their footsteps. When I was wounded, of all days, September 11th, 2010, when I got home, I gave that medal to my mom. I'm an only child, and my mother has had to send her only son to war not once but twice.
Oh, Major.
And she spent a lot of sleepless nights worrying about me. And I couldn't think of a better person for my medal to be with, and it's now framed on her wall in her home.
And tell me about her military involvement. She did something pretty special, didn't she?
Yeah, my parents met. My dad was a drill sergeant, and that's where my parents met. My mom went through the drill corporal program. You know, this was post-Vietnam, so they didn't want women in these roles. And so they designed this drill corporal program, which basically if you got through it successfully, you became a drill sergeant. So they were really hard on her, and she had to prove herself as a woman, you know, in the military, now in a leadership role, that she had what it took to meet their criteria, and she did that. She's one of the toughest women I know, and I love her to death for it.
And how was she able to bear having you off in Iraq and Afghanistan? That must be so hard, and I'm sure that there are mothers listening. I'd like to hear from you as well. It must have been so hard. How did you stay in touch with her, and how did she deal with the times when she couldn't be in touch with you?
Yeah, you know, I didn't understand it until I had my own kids. You know, I have a son who's 3 now and a daughter who's 15 months.
Oh, congratulations.
Just hearing them fall down the stairs, you get really emotional.
I know.
You know, they bump a head or something, and you hear that cry, you know, when your kid's crying. And but I imagine she felt the same way, and I can only, you know, give her thanks for the fact that she managed to live through that. She never once complained. She was always supportive, and as soldiers, we need that. We need the support of our families, and in my opinion, the families are the real heroes. And that's the case with all of these Purple Hearts. You know, these men were lost so many years ago, and those families had to live with that burden for the rest of their lives. And those are the strong, those are the people that make this country great. That's the foundation of our country, is those families that basically sacrifice someone they loved so that we could be free.
Right.
And I don't think we've done enough for them. I really do believe we need to make up for that loss and tell them that we're thankful that their brother or their grandfather, right, or their dad died for our country.
Yeah. And my dad was in World War II, and the only thing I have is he was in Panama for part of the war, so I have a really old kind of, I don't know how to even describe it, it's kind of a picture of Panama in this very unusual frame, but the other thing I have is he was in the Navy, and I have this very old anchor that has USN on it from World War II, and just the fact, I mean, I look at that probably every other day and remember my dad and remember World War II. Those kinds of symbols, those very tangible things, you just want to hold in your hand, you want to hold on to, and so many of the people you've returned the medals to, really, before they were lost, were holding on to them almost every day.
You're exactly right. And think about being separated from that anchor of your father's. You know,
right,
think about losing something that meant the world,
right,
to you.
Yeah.
You probably would never see it again in today's society. But think about somebody 60 years later knocking on your door and bringing that piece of your father back to you, how that would make you feel.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing across the country. And it's one of the proudest things for me. There's a lot of great veteran organizations out there that do a lot of good things for our veterans. But, you know, that memorial, that you know, metal, you know, shadow box that we deliver to these families is that item that they're going to see every day they walk into that house. And it's going to remind them of that service. And that lasts for a lifetime.
Yeah,
and
it does.
We're very proud of that.
Yeah, and to other lives, to subsequent generations, too. We're going to welcome phone calls. We have many of you calling in, and I'm so glad for that. Major Zachariah Fike is an active Guard Reserve captain in the Vermont Army National Guard. He has received a Purple Heart himself. He has been deployed to Iraq and also to Afghanistan and earned his Purple Heart on September 11th of 2010 in Afghanistan. He has started this incredible organization where he almost single-handedly, now he has people helping him out, lost Purple Hearts and other medals as well, but mostly Purple Hearts that have been found in all kinds of places and unfortunately are being traded now at outrageously high prices where they should be going back to the original owners because they're so meaningful, but along the way they become lost, so people know to find him, and then he is reuniting the owners or the heirs with these Purple Hearts, encased and polished, and at great expense to him, he's been traveling all over the country having ceremonies when these medals are given to family members. All right, we're going to welcome your phone. Ooh, we have a lot of phone calls. And we'll be with your calls momentarily. Our number is 800-486-8655. Facebook page where we'd love to read your stories about this topic, too, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have many phone calls coming in, so let's start with Lynn in Eau Claire. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Kathleen, and thank you so much, Major, for reuniting families. I never knew my uncle, Ray Sutherland. He was injured and went back into combat and subsequently killed. The family got a Purple Heart. About 20 years ago, a fellow soldier, someone who knew him, went through basic all the way through, a Mr. Gerald Kilbride, hunted down the last name and found my brother, who at that time had the Purple Heart. And he took it up Mount Fuji as a tribute to my Uncle Ray. And now I have it. And it was a loose organization, Stand for Peace. And I bring that with me because what we're standing for is so that people to recognize our veterans and to honor the sacrifices that families have made.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for reuniting families.
Thank you for that call, ma'am. I mean, it makes me feel warm inside to know that you have that medal, it's safe where it belongs, and that you're keeping his memory alive by talking about his service and his sacrifice to our country.
Yeah. Do you need volunteers to do research? Obviously, financial contributions, this is not something that you should have to pay for by yourself. Have you been around long enough now that you're getting some help?
We have a good base of volunteers. Where we're struggling is financial. Again, we're on average from metal rescue to framing and then the travel piece behind each return. On average, it costs us $1,200 per return.
Mm.
Every dollar helps, and every dollar goes back into returning these medals. You know, I lose sleep at night when I see a medal being sold on eBay or Craigslist, and I don't have the financial means to rescue it.
Mm-hmm.
I spend all night just thinking about that medal and the fact that I failed that man and I didn't have the means to rescue it.
Well, it wasn't just you. It was all of us, right? Particularly people who are selling them. They're the ones who should be taken to task for this, making money off of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's their personal choice. There's no law against it. I'm not bashing those people. You know, maybe they just don't understand, and there are special circumstances behind every medal. I just wish they could see some of what I see, and maybe their opinions would change.
I'm sure. So at any rate, is there something we can put on our Facebook page? Is there some place where people can help you financially?
Yep, they can go right to our website, purplehearts.reunited.org.
Okay.
Or simply send checks. Hopefully you can put our address on the website. We're located in Vermont, but it's really the families that have really been keeping this thing going. You know, once they see how much goes into a return, once they see how emotionally impacted they are at the end, they're the ones handing us a check, not to Zach Fike, but to the next family.
Right.
They want that next family to experience exactly what they experience. And that, to me, that's just humbling to
mm-hmm.
think that these families, it's unfortunate that they're giving, and they're definitely not asked, but the fact that it meant so much to them that they want to see it. They want to
right.
see it keep going.
Well, we'll be happy to put both those sites on our Facebook page, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Lynn, thanks so much for the call. Dave in Fond du Lac is next. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Dave.
Thanks for taking my call. I was in the Marines in Vietnam, got shot several times in '69. I woke up a couple days later to give me my medals, and they don't have my name on. At least I haven't looked at it for 40 years. I don't kind of put that out of my mind, but I know my name's not on that. And what is it because of the field presentation that I didn't have that, or When did they start putting names on them?
It's typically reserved for posthumous soldiers, sir. So your Marine brothers that were killed, the government would have had their medals engraved and then presented to the family.
Like
my medal, mine wasn't engraved either, and I would highly suggest to you that you take that medal to a professional engraver in your town and have it done. That way, if anything was to happen to those, I would have, or someone else would have, the ability to try to locate you or your family.
Never occurred to me.
Thanks for your service, sir. I'm a son of a Vietnam veteran, and I just want to say welcome home to you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. Casey is next in Edgerton. Hello, Casey.
Hi. I have a question. Has your organization thought about, or maybe you guys have already made a book, just kind of chronicling all of the stories behind these medals? I would be extremely interested. I mean, I know the funds are short, and obviously making a book takes some funds, but I think it would be a really great idea if you guys could put a book together. I would love to just sit there and read about all these medals and the people behind them and the stories.
Yeah, that would be a great book if you haven't done it, Major.
Yeah, it's actually been on my mind for quite some time. Believe it or not, we've talked to some major publishing companies, and it's funny because some of them think it's too repetitive. You know, return after return. But in my opinion, the stories are just so unique and great on their own. We're definitely going to follow through with that, and I can't wait for the world to read some of these amazing stories. It's a great idea.
Well, each of the stories is so unique because they're all different families and different nations, really, many of them, and certainly different wars and circumstances. There's so much you could weave in. It could be a history lesson.
Yeah, and we post those stories on our website. If you go to our website, again,
yes,
purpleheartsreunited.org, there's a recently returned link, and we post a good majority of our medals on there. So you can actually read some of the stories and see some of the videos of our past returns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're well worth spending your time on. Casey, thank you so much for your call. Scott in La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Kathleen. First of all, thank you for doing this program. And Major, I'd like to thank you for your service and for the work you're doing, and also for mentioning historical societies as a place of honor for people who don't know what to do with the Purple Heart. I volunteer as a docent with the Onalaska Historical Society right next to La Crosse, and I can tell you we have a World War II display there, and I can tell you with certainty that were we to have a donation of a Purple Heart, we would definitely treat it with the honor it deserves. So thank you again very much.
Thank you, Scott, for the call.
He's exactly right. I mean, a lot of these families maybe only had one son, and when that son died, that family name ended. So we come across families that just, there's no one living. And, you know, it wouldn't make sense to take a medal from La Crosse and put it in Florida. You know, we want to keep that local history local. So that would be our first look to get it into that local historical society.
Laura on Facebook wonders, how can I tell whether a Purple Heart is authentic? Found one and assumed it was fake, but it sure looks real. Tried to research it online, but still can't tell.
For the most part, the medals that we see or receive are all genuine. To the trained eye, each medal tells a story. It's just not so much by design, but how it was manufactured over time. You know, we use different materials in World War I versus today's time with plastics and things of that nature. There are some fakes that are coming out of Korea, overseas, but they're so bad you can tell right away. You know, if you see a medal in a store, I would recommend that you call us or email us, send us a photo of it, and we will be able to tell you right away if it's worth rescuing.
Scott, very nice to hear from you. Thank you so much. And we do have joining us now Ann Diamond. Ann is the daughter of the late Corporal Raymond Edward Paradowski. Her father's Purple Heart was returned to her in January of 2015. Ann, thank you so much for being with us. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi. So tell me about your dad.
Well, my dad was always a part of my life, but my parents divorced when I was young, and so I was a little bit estranged from him growing up, although I did hear from him and see him periodically. He spoke very little about being in the war, but I did know he was in Korea. And there was talk in our family about him having a Purple Heart. And I just never, after he passed away in 1996, I had received a lot of medals, and I saw something about a Purple Heart, but I always thought it was just a family story.
Oh.
And so then one day I got a call from Captain Fike, who told me they had found my dad's Purple Heart, and wow, that was really a shocker, because my dad, I knew the war had affected him tremendously. I knew he had flashbacks. I knew he had a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
He was only happy when he was around other vets and other people that had been through what he had been through. So I knew there were a lot of things going on in his life that way. But to actually know there was a Purple Heart and that it was true, it was just amazing.
Mm.
It just brought me closer to him. But it also made me feel terrible because I didn't get to know him 2 weeks before he passed. He was supposed to come out by us for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to start, you know, renewing our relationship. And he did start, you know, he did tell me about things, you know, his military past. But to find this after he passed and not be able to talk to him,
right,
and find out more about what happened and how it affected him, that's the hard part. But the medal made it, like, it cemented things for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I also then turned around and had this headstone. I had a Purple Heart placed on it.
Oh, you did. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they don't put the actual medal or symbol like they used to. They just put Purple Heart. They engrave it in the stone. They don't put the actual, I think back in the past they maybe had put something a little bit more ornate on the stone.
Mm-hmm.
But our cemetery, our VA cemetery, just put Purple Heart on there, but that was good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
well, may you take comfort in the fact that a lot of vets have come back. I know World War II vets were the same way, and certainly Korean vets, and just didn't say much to anybody ever during their lifetimes about what they went through, right? They just never wanted to talk about it.
Well, my brother-in-law is a Vietnam vet, and he served in the military for over 25 years. I don't know the exact number, but it was a long time. It was a big part of his life, and he doesn't shut up about it.
Really?
He's totally different. He loves to talk about it, because that's his way of releasing things. Some keep it in.
Right.
And they only relate to other vets. And he will just, you ask him a question and he'll just talk and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his way of letting things go. But then he's also the same way as my dad was, very comfortable with other vets.
What?
Where they would sit around and talk about their units and things.
Yes, because only they had seen, the rest of us haven't seen or been through what
exactly.
They have been. Is that true for you too, Major Zachariah Fike, that you feel more comfortable in talking about your experiences with other vets? Major Fike? Major Fike?
Oh.
Yeah, he's not there. We'll don't worry. We'll get him back on. And somehow I was reading, when I was reading about your dad, that the medal, his Purple Heart, had been turned in anonymously to the City of Brookfield Police Department in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
What's that story?
I have no idea.
Really?
I just know that a big part of my dad's life was he didn't like to keep a lot of things.
Oh.
He moved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He was married after he was married to my mom for quite a while, and then they divorced.
Hmm.
And I know he didn't like a lot of possessions. He kept very little things to himself. He was in the process of moving when he passed away, and so I don't know if things got boxed up and misplaced, if they got taken to a Goodwill store to rummage, or I have no idea why it was turned in that way or how it ended up there, but I just knew it was supposed to come back to me.
Right.
When it did, because, like I said, my uncles had talked about my dad having a Purple Heart, and I had heard other stories here and there, but never saw anything about it. And like I said, until I requested his military records, and here he had all these medals. And when I was presented his plaque at the VA, the War Memorial, during the ceremony, he had all these different medals because he was infantry, and he had, you know, because he was in the Korean War, there were like 8 medals there, and I was just floored. And so they had his picture there with the flag and all his medals, and it's like, Dad, this is my way of, you know, kind of reinstating with you.
It sure was. Oh, that must have been some ceremony.
Yeah. But it was also a joint ceremony with another vet who was in a concentration camp.
Oh, that's right. I read about that story. Major, can you tell us that story? That's a remarkable one.
Yeah, I just want to say hi to Ann really quick.
Okay.
It's been a while since we talked, but it's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks to you for bringing that medal to me.
No problem. Yeah, the other medal, so there was 2 medals found together. Bruce Klein was a living World War II veteran, and his Bronze Star, basically 10 years ago, his 2 daughters went to their father and said, hey, Dad, were you a hero? And like many vets today, said, no, I was just doing my job. And they said, well, did you get any medals? And he said, no, which was kind of reality. A lot of these guys didn't get their medals till after the fact. So they went ahead and ordered his replacement medal, and unfortunately they put the wrong address. They put the VA So his Bronze Star was sent there, and when they received it, they weren't sure what to do with it, and they threw it in a filing cabinet, and it sat there for 10 years.
So
he went on with his life not knowing and just assumed that he didn't get anything. So when I found him and called him, told him what I had, he basically said, you got the wrong guy. And I said, no, sir, we've confirmed this. This is your medal. And he goes, just put it in the mail, son. And I said, no, sir, we got to come to you, and it would be my honor to pin this to your chest. So what was amazing is through conversation, he served in a famous unit, the 103rd Infantry Division, which was famous for liberating Dachau, the concentration camp.
Yes.
And when I Googled Dachau in Milwaukee, I was amazed to find a Holocaust museum.
Mm-hmm.
And I called that museum and asked if someone smarter than I could come and just talk about Dachau. And they said, well, we have something better. We have 2 men that were there the day Bruce Klein walked through the gate.
Oh, my goodness.
And so these 2 survivors showed up, and they met Bruce Klein for the first time, and they called him their guardian angel, because literally if it wasn't for men like Bruce walking through that gate that day to rescue them, they wouldn't be here today. And it was a very emotional event.
I would imagine it was. I imagine. Well, Ian, thank you for your story and for learning about your dad, and now we know more about him, too.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks again to Captain Fike. Really, he does amazing work, and I'm sure he knows, but, you know, he's bringing families together. He's bringing memories. He's bringing a lot more than just a medal. He's feelings are involved in this, memories, emotions, and you are doing, like, the best job in the planet. It's got to give you so much, it's got to be a rewarding thing every time you hand a medal over to a family. They either know about it or they don't know about it, or, you know, it was lost or something, but it's amazing what you do, and you're going to be blessed the rest of your life, really.
I appreciate it. You know, I don't deserve any awards. Those comments alone keep us going, and I really appreciate that from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Ian, so much. Ann Diamond, and it was her father. You heard her story. I don't need to reiterate here, but she is now the recipient of his Purple Heart, thanks to the work of Major Zachariah Fike. And we're going to continue with your phone calls. Our phone number, his organization, by the way, and we have addresses on our Facebook page in case you want to track these down, because I know some of you listening will want to do just that, is Purple Hearts Reunited. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go back to phone calls to Wallace in Weyerhaeuser next. Hi, Wallace.
Hi. Kathleen, first of all, before I give you my little story, ask your guest, if I misunderstood him, when was the Purple Heart established?
I think he said 1932. Am I right, Major?
What year?
1932, except that some version of it goes way back to George Washington.
Okay, all right, because it kind of confused me. Well, here's my story. After World War II, we established a VFW post here in 1946 in Weyerhaeuser. And, of course, we had 9 or 10 remaining World War I veterans.
Oh.
And this, as they passed, this one elderly man up in his upper 80s, he kept telling us, that he's, you know, at that time he said, they owe me a Purple Heart. I was supposed to get one. And occasionally at the meetings, he kept mentioning it, see? So the officers at the at our post, they began to look into it and contacting the Veterans Administration or whoever they could get a hold of. And we kept on working, wouldn't relent. And lo and behold, finally, he was notified that he is getting a Purple Heart.
Hmm.
So we arranged, when we were informed at the date that he would be getting it, a representative from the Army came with the citation and his medal. And we had made arrangements with his youngest sister, who was up in age already. And we asked this gentleman, after he gave the formalities, if she could present it to him.
Uh-huh.
And she did. And for a few minutes, there wasn't a dry eye
the
place.
I'll bet.
This old gentleman, he just put both hands over his eyes and he just sobbed. So I just thought it'd be willing to share this.
Thank you, Wallace. Thank you very much for calling. Yeah. Good afternoon to you. And we have a caller, Major Zike, who has the paper citation for a Purple Heart and wants to get it to the family, wondering he can go about doing that.
If he could literally take a photo of that so we can see what we're working with and email it to purplehearts.reunited@gmail.com. Just put the subject this show so I know who sent it. And we'll do our best to identify that family so that we can get it home.
Purplehearts@gmail.com.
It's Purple Hearts Reunited. So purple like the color, hearts with an S, and then reunited all together at gmail.com.
Purplehearts.reunited@gmail.com. Great. All right. Well, Wallace, thank you very much for your call. Cindy in Fox Cities. Hi.
Hello. First of all, thank you for what you're doing. It's just very honorable of you to do that. And I'm just wondering
if there's
ever been a family that has turned this down just because the memory was just too hard to bear.
Early on, we had a situation where a daughter was not interested because early on, after her father returned from the war, he decided to leave his family and essentially abandon his daughter. And she resented him all her life for that reason. And after talking with her on multiple occasions, I kind of got the full story. You know, he lost movement in one of his arms, so he wasn't able to keep a steady job. And he felt like a failure, and he began to drink heavily. Mm. And like a lot of veterans do, turn to alcohol to kind of ease the pain. And I offered a suggestion or a different viewpoint, if you will. You know, we as men are very prideful. And if we feel like we can't provide for our families, we feel ashamed of ourselves. And perhaps in his own mind, he thought separating himself from that family was the best decision for his daughter and his wife. Maybe not the smartest ideal or maybe not the best ideal or an ideal we would agree with, but he made a decision. And her mother ended up marrying a doctor, and they lived a pretty successful life. And, you know, she had never looked at it that way, you know. And she said, hey, I have a son. And this would be her grandfather. So eventually she said, yeah, please send me the medal and I'll give it to him.
Hmm.
So, I mean, every family has a different dynamic,
right,
a different story. So you kind of have to treat each case with a separate, you know, sensitivity and try to do what's best for that family. But we never push a family in any direction. It's really up to them.
Major Fike, you were talking earlier about how hard it is to serve and how you come home with so much that not too many people really will understand because they haven't been where you've been. One of the other people was talking about how her father really was most open with other vets. Do you find that that's true as well, that there are certain kinds of stories that only you can open up about with other people who've been with, been through in some form what you've been through?
You know, this foundation is my therapy. It's helped me deal and cope with the things that I've saw. You know, I try to talk, you know, we, the younger generation, don't brag. We don't talk about what we've done in combat. We will amongst each other, but typically to civilians, we don't. And I would urge my local, you know, brothers and sisters to talk more about it, to educate the community on what we've done and what we've accomplished, because if we don't, we lose that history.
Right.
You know, the stories are not told, and we need to educate America on how important our fighting men and women are to this country, and we're the best conduits of that. We've experienced it. We've walked the ground. I think it's our obligation to tell everyone we see how proud we should be of these men and women so that they're never forgotten. And I've seen that happen with some of these older medals. We've forgotten about these soldiers, and I don't want to see that repeated in our history.
Why is it so hard to talk?
I think it's a pride. You know, obviously we don't want to see it as a bragger or someone pumping their chest. And two, it's a reminder. You know, you don't want to think about the bad day where you lost a friend or you saw something that was just, you know, the worst thing that you could see as a man or woman.
Right.
You don't want to relive those memories, but sometimes it helps. Sometimes talking about it helps. And the more you hold it in, the more it just builds and builds and builds. So I would suggest any man or woman that's suffering or having troubles to find an outlet. You know, get a hobby or you know, write or, you know, get into a sport. There's things out there. If you just stay active and keep your mind busy, you can get through it.
Mm-hmm. Cindy, thanks very much for your call. Mark is next in Milwaukee. Hello, Mark.
Hi. I just wanted to thank the Major for his service and for this great work. Interestingly enough, I've been driving to a work site, and I actually happen to be across the street from the Milwaukee Jewish Community Center and the Holocaust Museum. And our family is Jewish. My father served in the Army in World War II. He was part of the occupation forces that went into Italy after the combat troops. And I was very moved by the Holocaust survivor story. I also just wanted to mention that I am familiar with a woman. Her name is Carla King, and she has self-published a number of books and e-books and actually teaches seminars on how to self-publish. And I just wanted to mention that, you know, it's never been easier to get a work published today. And if a major publisher is not interested, I wouldn't let that discourage you, and I would actually encourage you to look at taking it on yourself, and would point you to Carla King as one possible resource that could help get these things published, because I think it is important.
Thank you. I would imagine time is the problem here. It sounds like you've had big publishers interested in these stories. Is that right?
Yeah, they've been interested. It does come down to a time constraint. We get 3 to 5 medals a week. You know, we have...
Oh, that's quite a few.
...parts that we're currently in the research process. And we're on pace right now to do between 100 and 150 returns this year alone.
Wonderful.
That's one every 3 days. So it's safe to say that I don't sleep much.
Well, I guess you don't. Plus, you have a 3-year-old and a 15-month-old.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You really don't sleep very much. One more question. Joe in Appleton. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm wondering if you can help out looking for some information regarding World War II veterans. And I know that my understanding is some of the records were lost in a fire a number of decades ago. And I'm just wondering in regards to looking for some of that stuff, what the best way to approach that.
Yeah, you're correct. The National Public Records Center in St. Louis had a big fire in 1973.
Oh.
16 million servicemen and women lost their records, to include my father.
Oh, my goodness.
Who was a Vietnam veteran. So we've lost a lot of that history. It's still worth applying to see if there's any records still intact. So you can go to archives.gov and request those records. Just be patient. They will come. It takes some time. If not, and they come back destroyed, I would suggest going to their local induction town. So if they are from La Crosse, Wisconsin, go to that town hall. They possibly have that enlistment or that separation on record.
And on that point, we're going to have to say goodbye to you. Thank you, Major, so much. What an inspirational hour. Thank you. Major Zachariah Fire, go to our Kathleen Dunn Show Facebook page for addresses on how you can help get these medals back to the people who should have them. Thanks to KP Whaley, Scotty Myers, and America Saval for producing this show.